People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome you to Porch Talk. This is your host, Alan. And November 10th, 2019, we sat very close to this space and we were getting to know each other, and it was an apothecary. Mm-hmm. It was a church office.
Yeah. Yeah, we've come a long way since 2019.
Mm-hmm.
The world's changed.
Completely.
Everything's different.
Resilience, man. The Munson brothers had to change.
We had to find the light and grow towards it.
If y'all haven't figured it out, my guest today is Ryan Munson. He is the owner of Munson Brothers, beloved apothecary, craft beer bar, and pizza palace.
Mm-hmm.
You agree with those things?
I'm in on all of it.
Well, dude, this is a catch up. There's things to look forward to. We have Oktoberfest coming up at the beginning of October, along with if you don't come here in about a month's time, something has changed.
Something changes. We change a lot. We've just got finished building a pretty big deck for the out back, like the back bar area, trying to make it look nicer, more comfortable for guests. We've been moving right along for especially since 2019. I don't even know where to start, but yeah.
I don't know if I've had you on since then in different ways. I guess let's go back to 2019, man. We were, shortly after the podcast, you invited me out to go do these arts festivals, and we would load up into Westphalia,
mm-hmm.
and we would sell beard oils and soaps, balms.
And we had so much fun. I mean, the best thing about doing anything at these festivals, all these little towns usually have some kind of little festival to celebrate whatever they've got going on. Here we have Market Street, Columbus. But it's the coolest thing. So we had these beard oils and bombs. We still have them. My online store. I still got some orders I need to fill. I just don't get out as much as nearly as like I want to. We'd like to go out like rock stars and set up the Westphalia. We have a couple of beers. We just like get to know the cool people of the town. Everybody's in a good mood. It's a festival. We kind of turn them on to what we're doing. And, I mean, we've made some lifelong friends just by showing up in random small towns throughout the South.
I know there are festivals like, just take the one over in West Point, man. There's been times we take the Westphalia over there, whether it was me and Gibson or whomever, and let's say you weren't able to make it. I mean, people are coming and looking.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they remember, like... And that was one thing that I always thought, like, when I was learning how to work the festivals, is we just do it differently.
Mm-hmm.
Like, our approach is we do beard call, the guys, we're a bit absurd.
No, we go in hard, and we holler. What's great is we'll start hollering at couples walking by, and the girl always thinks that we're just like catcalling her, and we're always like, "No, ma'am, you get out of the way. We want to talk to him." Mm-hmm. Like that guy with that handsome, strong beard. And he'd be like, because nothing there at that festival's for him. You know, it's all like,
it's all for the girls.
Clothing and perfumes and, you know, art and just stuff. He just thinks that he's there to you know.
He was really looking forward to one of the food trucks.
Yeah, yeah. He's thinking maybe food truck, maybe there's a band that might be playing that he could get into. He's just wanting to know where the cold beer is, where can he chill out. And then he finds us, and we might give him a beer and just have him, just you hang out with us, let her go shopping. We were like Guy's Corner.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, we got to know some cool people. That was a lot of fun. And so we did that for a while, and then, you know, COVID happened, and that just shut down everything. No more festivals. Online sales were bad. We were up to over 150 wholesale accounts at one time, which kind of justify our existence. Wholesale was a bit of the grind that kept the lights on, and then those festivals would be kind of the cream and help us grow. And then COVID happened and just shut all that down. And what I really wanted to do was I wanted to be a retail place. I really wanted to lean into the outfitter. There's just not a very good outfitter place around Columbus. And originally I was going to build this up. I was going to make like a candle beard oil bar, which you could come in and design your own and make your own. And we were just going to offer a lot of retail stuff. And matter of fact, we went into the mall. You were there, Alan. And that was going to be our fundraiser, is we got a kiosk in the Mall of Tupelo. And we just did a Christmas there. And it was, this is just before COVID. And it was a mess. There's some really interesting things I found out there.
You know, I've still to this day, I don't think I've eaten another pretzel.
Yeah, they had pretzel dogs there, which this place had a, it's a hot dog, kind of like a corn dog, but instead of the corn dog covering, it had pretzel covering. And it was the most magnificent thing I've ever heard.
In our kiosk, it was so near that when you were there, that's all you smelled.
Mm-hmm. And that lady always, I know she was uncomfortable because I'd be salivating at the mouth when I walk up there. And I had to tell her, it's not you, ma'am. It's your delicious pretzel dogs. That's what I like so much. Like, I don't mean to make you uncomfortable, but I want them dogs, you know? Yeah. there was also another restaurant. I couldn't figure this out, but, like, they had another restaurant inside of, like, the mall restaurant food court area that didn't have a single thing for sale that was on their menu. And so you'd be like, do you have, it was like a hot wing place, and you'd try to order wings.
I always took it as a joke.
Yeah. Yeah, I get, and instead they just kind of copied with the Chinese place next to them. They just had all their stuff. And I kind of liked it because it was like investigative eating, because you had to ask a lot of questions to find out what you want to get. And you had to really dive into what they have going on before you're really going to be able to get anything that made sense. So that was neat. And then we learned a lot about, there's a kiosk next door to us that sold gold. And I learned that there's this whole underworld business for selling gold. And they told me that they make most of their money off of drug dealers. Because when drug dealers get busted and they got a bunch of cash on them, that the police will take over the cash. They'll take the cash from them.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not allowed to take personal property. So when you saw Mr. T and all those folks wearing these big, giant gold chains...
They're wearing their money.
They're wearing their money. And they can't leave it at home because they have a lifestyle that, you know, might not lend themselves to be able to leave gold chains at home. So they just carry all their personal property on them. And if they go to jail and get locked up and they get out of jail, they're going to give them all back their gold chains. And so they work those gold places like a bank. You go and drop off a gold chain and sell it for however much if you need some quick cash. Or if you make a bunch of money, just go in there and buy yourself a big chain. You can just wear it around like $10,000, $30,000 just around your neck in gold jewelry. It's wild. I didn't even know that world existed. And they were talking about how they're wanting to open up more of them like in downtown Memphis and like hard places in Memphis and just have security guards sitting outside because that's the bank that will serve that community. Talk about finding like a crazy niche market.
Yeah.
But that's, he said they were thriving. As a matter of fact, he said what they do is they take all the scrap gold from like cutting down chains and doing stuff like that. At the end of the year, they just cash all that in and have a huge party. It's like they'll make $80,000, $90,000, $100,000 just in scrap gold that they've been collecting and buying off people. Jeez. You know, they'll offer them $10 for a chain, and
yeah,
who knows how much gold's actually there, and they just melt it all down and go sell it and just make tons of money. So, it was wild.
We had one of the first glimpses of a commercial come from the mall, too.
Yeah, Lance. We did a Christmas commercial where just kind of had my boy Lance and I just kind of looking at each other, just kind of giving each other that look. And then beard oil appear in somebody's hand. And then we just kind of gave each other that look again. And the kids could say today that we were risen each other.
I think that's right? What they that call fair? It. That's fair. Yeah, we would have to ask our friendly neighborhood, Mrs. Doubtfire. He seems to be in with the lingo of our time.
He's really into Mrs. Doubtfire's top. I think he said at least top three favorite movie of all
time. I've never heard a human being confess that.
Though I have to say, yeah, right? I've never heard of anybody say Mrs. Doubtfire is my favorite.
No.
I think that if anybody else tried to play that movie other than Robin Williams, I think we'd all really, like, it wouldn't go over as well. It's like a Vin Diesel or somebody like that tried to play that Meg character.
Mm. Mark Wahlberg, get out of here.
No, yeah.
Not going to happen.
It wouldn't work at all, but I did think about, like, maybe a sequel. And, like, so I'm thinking about, he had a son, right? And his son grew up. We know Robin Williams passed, R.I.P. Robin Williams. But his son is now going through family problems, and his wife's giving him a hard time. And let's say, like, she leaves him, takes the kids with him. It's kind of same scenario, but she leaves his house,
mm-hmm.
and he goes up into the base, like, into the attic. And, like, he's just moving boxes around, and opens up this chest, and it's like the Mrs. Doubtfire wig and face and the thing, and he's like, this is what Dad did, this is how Dad fixed it, you know? And so boom, Mrs. Doubtfire 2.
I'm getting my family back.
Yeah, I gotta get my family
starring
back.
Pete Davidson.
Pete, he would be wonderful at it. Yeah, and like a video montage of him putting the stockings on and getting the
air guitar with the broom.
Yeah.
All right, and for this idea, I think this idea is worth at least $100,000. Hollywood, we'll accept the checks.
Yeah, I mean, we'll finish writing it anyway. I don't think it deserves much more attention unless we're getting paid for it. At this moment in time, we just got to let that sit there. And
yeah.
Just let us know.
So we were fundraising at the mall for a candle bar.
Yeah, and oddly enough, I mean, that was a good gig, and that worked really, really well. The first month of November was kind of rough, but, man, those, like, right after Thanksgiving. And there were some times there where you didn't do anything but think about pretzel dogs. But on the weekends, it was time to shine, and although the mall seems dead, that one's still doing pretty well, considering. And we raised enough money to do a remodel to just this front room that we're sitting in right now. I built a little bar area. I think I knocked down the first wall.
Mm-hmm.
And just about had it all set up. And that's when COVID hit in March and just shut down the whole thing. And that went on for a while. You know, we did the whole, like everybody else, we just didn't know what to expect and packed up family members and just kind of shut ourselves in. And once I kind of realized, like, Italy wasn't going to happen here, we knew we had to get open back up and pivot. And this was, we reopened Munson Brothers up to the public and not just being kind of a guy's hangout in October 1st. So this Oktoberfest we have coming up will be our fifth Oktoberfest since that date.
What's the dates on this year's?
October 4th and 5th.
It's a Friday and a Saturday game.
Friday and Saturday. And this will be our fifth one, so we're getting a lot better. It's a lot better than it was in the first year. Keeps getting bigger. We've got food and some. This time I wanted to lean into kind of the working man bands around here. Most of the bands are all local, but like Keith and Margie, if you haven't seen Keith and Margie, they play all the weddings. They just kind of, they're just a great duo. They sound so good. I wanted just, we got the Rust Bucket Roadies going to play on Saturday.
That's great. Shane Tubbs.
Shane Tubbs band's going to be playing. We got Jerry Wayne Beard and Friends. He plays with Scott Pridmore. So they're going to be here playing. So just some of these guys who've just been staples in this community playing. Fantastic.
And then a big piece.
Yeah, we got we got a seven piece polka band from Jackson, Tennessee. That's going to be on Friday night. They're going to open us up. Seven piece. They're going to play polka. It's going to be like traditional German music. They call themselves the Delta Krauts, which is just a beautiful name. So looking forward to that. And then we got Peyton Aldridge and his band, which he was on American Idol and made it pretty far. And so there's a lot of hype around him. I mean, he's just got a great voice.
Single dudes out there. Peyton Aldridge, look and see what day that he's coming, because he seems to draw out the single ladies. So you never know what you might find.
That's right.
He came and did a pop-up show here, and he was kind enough to give me a little bit of his time to come on Porch Talk. And when I pulled in the parking lot, and the garden was slam full of just some of the prettiest Mississippi girls you ever saw in your life. Mm-hmm. That's a shameless plug here. So come catch Peyton Aldridge. There might be something to the last name. I've heard that I have the opposite effect, but we're here for it.
We're here for it. We got Brad Kidder and Dirty Dustin Gibson, Dirty D. They're going to be our MCs. They're going to be running the Toastmaster. They'll be hyping up the bands, hyping up the crowd. We have beer games. Steinholds. We'll have brats, pretzels.
Pizza kraut. By the slice?
Hmm?
Pizza by the slice?
I think we might just go pizzas this time.
Okay.
We're gonna have arts and craft vendors. They're also going to be having Little Hands Big Trucks on that same Saturday, which is brought to you by the United Way and Company. So there will be a lot of families coming through here that Saturday. It's gonna be a super fun thing to bring the kids to, and then kind of come over here and listen to some music, eat some corn dogs or some brats. Mm-hmm. We also have a 5K and a beer run gonna be happening that day. So imagine this. You got 1 mile and 4 pints of beer. Only 21 and up can do it. Be a trophy and some prizes. But that's 10 o'clock in the morning, 4 pints, 1 mile.
I remember last year's, and I don't know how you prepare yourself for it, but just do your best.
Yeah, just do your best. Come out here and just know that we all support you. So that'll be a lot of fun. Thanks for the shameless plug, but I'm glad we get to plug that, because it's one of our biggest deals. We really take it seriously. We wear our lederhosen and just really try to make it a lot of fun.
And with the beer, like local breweries from Mississippi, Tennessee, all offering their finest Oktoberfest style beer. And if I'm running the Kegerators, I will challenge you to a suicide. That is where I give you a little bit of every beer in your cup, and you see what you can do with it.
You see what you can do with it. Or you can drink from the drain, the bucket, the drain bucket.
That has the same effect.
Same effect. Tastes like garbage.
It was a real hit last year. Four people.
Be a lot of fun.
Four people. Yeah, October 4th and 5th, Friday, Saturday, come out. That is, it's one of our best events. It's a whole lot of fun. I'm always happy to be a part of it.
We specifically designed Porch Fest to be the exact opposite of the calendar of this, because they're equally really good times. So that's coming up, and that's going to be a lot of fun. And actually, next week, we have the United Way going to give away $50,000 here. So if you catch this episode before that happens, it's on the 29th of August. If you come out here, they're going to give away $10,000 five times. That's how that's happening.
Yeah, and so also, it's not too late to buy tickets, right?
You can be buying tickets, I think, up until the first drawing.
Okay, so with the sign-up form, I think go to 50K Your Way. I think that's the website. If you'll write in Porch Fest as your nonprofit, that would do me a huge service.
Yeah, so what he's saying is you can buy tickets in the name of a nonprofit, and one of those $10,000 they're going to give away is only going to go to a nonprofit of your choice. I think what happens, though, is like once they get 10 tickets sold in that nonprofit's name, they're $100 a ticket. A lot of time they have like BOGOs and stuff going on. But then there's, you know, Allen's nonprofit, Porch Fest, or Porch Talk, would only be in competition with like 5, maybe 10 other people. So like the odds are really good that his nonprofit could win that $10,000, which would, he's just going to take that money and just turn around and give it to bands and musicians and comedians and the arts. And we all win when that happens. So
yep.
Be a really good thing.
Yeah, so the 29th, Thursday. And we also have some a local couple from the Air Force. They're going to be playing some music for us. And then after that, it's the 5th Thursday of the month. We only do open mics on the 1st and 3rd. So I'm asking all of my musicians in the area to come on out after 6 o'clock that evening, and we're going to do our best to give you a good bluegrass vibe.
Yeah, just jam out. Find a hole and fill it.
Mm-hmm. Well, back to the story, man. So October came up. You knocked down a wall.
Yeah. So we finally knocked that on. We kind of had it set up. We had a little money saved up from doing the mall venture, and then we just had to shut it all down. And then as October's coming up, we had little things going. We used to have like a little community garden out there, the food pantry we had put out there. But through my wife and friends, we kept saying we need to do something. There was no place to play music. Nobody leaned into the craft beer scene. And I thought, wouldn't it be cool if we were a place that happened to sell craft beer? We were a retail establishment that happened to serve craft beer. I called my lawyer, found out like you have to have a fenced-in area, or at least an appearance of a fence. Like you can use bushes, for example, that designated the area on your property in which you can serve alcohol. And so I just built, Michael Talley helped me build a huge fence just around our side area. We brought in, I started learning about craft beer, had some funny conversations with these guys because people were just telling me that craft beer wasn't in anymore. So, well, we're gonna try to see what we can do. And then we had our first Oktoberfest, and I'll never forget, man, we just had a refrigerator, and we were selling the beer out of the window, concession stand, because it was the middle of October 2020. Everybody's still super scared and not sure. And we didn't know this, but there was an ordinance that was passed in the military base at that time that military personnel couldn't go inside of any nightclubs or bars. They couldn't go indoors. And so because of that, we were a beer garden that was open outside. They just showed up on that first Oktoberfest, and we were just way underprepared. And I think we had a food truck out there, and that was it. We had a food truck and some bands and us, but it's the first thing that I remember even happening that year in Columbus because everything had shut down. And I just remember we sold out of all of our beer, and I was running to the grocery store or the gas station up the road trying to buy six packs. We just had a bunch of coolers with ice in it, giving ice baths to beer, trying to get it cold. We had one poor bathroom that was just getting slaughtered. It just ended by, and I'll never forget, Lance was handing these beers out the window, and we were using Square and like taking people's credit cards, and we had just a big old stack of credit cards, and Lance looked at us and looked at me and goes, "We opened a damn bar. We didn't open a retail place with a bar." And I said, "Sorry, man." It was a great opening, and it kind of let people know we were here. And, you know, for the first 2 years, that's what we did. We just served craft beer. We didn't have any food. People were door dashing here. At that time, I thought, well, maybe we can just, like, set up a thing with DoorDash. Maybe we could be a restaurant without a kitchen. We'll keep making our beard oils in the back. And we'll just put every venue that's on DoorDash, we'll just put their menu up. So you could just, like, order from that.
Yeah,
we'll add it to your tab,
mm-hmm.
Have it DoorDashed here, and then you don't have to quit doing anything, but it just never really caught on. And once everything opened back up, everybody, you know, would have a couple beers here, and they're like, "We're gonna leave, go eat, maybe we'll come back." And that's when we realized we're gonna have to bring food here, and like, what can we bring that's not already offered in Columbus? And there's just no one doing brick oven pizza, and that's something we could cook outside. You see, this place wasn't originally made to have a kitchen in it. So I couldn't do the sprinkler system thing. you know, I'd have to buy a whole new sprinkler system, and we just didn't have that deep of pockets. Put in a hood vent sprinkler system, so it made more economical sense to cook outside. We didn't want to do barbecue. Brick oven pizza made the most sense. And we got to meet with a couple of chefs. I had Lance Cooper and McGill Iams. We all met with this chef. She was a culinary student. And we did some taste testing with different cheeses. And when you cook in a brick oven, so our brick oven gets up to about 900 degrees. 850 to 900 degrees is ideal for cooking like an artisan type pizza. Most restaurants are going to cook about 450, maybe 550. So we're quite a bit more. And you can't just take cheese, like a blended cheese, and throw that on a pizza and throw it in a 900 degree
oven.
It'll incinerate. It'll all just turn black. And your dough won't even be risen yet, and all the toppings would be burnt up. So you got to go high fat, high quality toppings. Otherwise, it just won't last. So the pizza ended up tasting pretty. It tastes pretty good. Matter of fact, just a couple weeks ago, we won best pizza in town. To me, that was a huge accomplishment. So it's been just right at 2 years since we introduced pizza here, and to be recognized by that's really awesome. I feel like we got a long way to go because, you know, we're still building this airplane as we fly it. It's almost been, like I said, 4 years is coming up since we've been opened. And I'm still learning so much, still feeling like there's more we got to do. There's more we got to clean up. There's more we got to raise the bar on. But I'm enjoying it, and everything success-wise, I couldn't have asked for more as far as what it's been able to do. I've been able to let go of a couple of businesses and just focus on this one. It's come a long way.
Right on, man. So recently, Catherine came up with some grants.
Yeah.
And that is a big part of, if you've been to Munson's recently, you might notice we have a deck now.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot going on around the back bar. Is there more plans toward, or what you could share with what you might have coming next?
Yeah, so that was awesome. So this past March, through Main Street, they sent us an email letting us know that American Express had partnered with the Main Streets during the middle of COVID. That's when they started offering this thing, but they're trying to revitalize downtowns, especially smaller towns that really were impacted by all that COVID mess. But so in March she said, you know, I'm gonna apply for this thing. It's $10,000 grant. They're doing it all over the U.S. And I said, sure, yeah, let's do it. So we just kind of threw that out there, and I knew in March that like one of our biggest problems that we've had is battling Mississippi heat. Man, it's hot. I don't care who you are. 100 degrees here is worse than 100 degrees anywhere else in the country. If it's 100 degrees outside in Mississippi, I'll give Louisiana that too, and some parts of Florida. But it's so hot and humid that it is just, it's just disgusting, especially around the Mississippi River. So we had to do something about that because, you know, half of our draw is that we got a nice outdoor area. So we just said, you know, I want half the money to help with an AC unit and the other half to redo our back bar area, make it more inviting and more comfortable. And we got it, and it was $10,000. I probably have spent double that trying to get everything where it wants because they pick 500 small businesses across the U.S., give them $10,000. Phenomenal opportunity. But out of those 500, if we, you know, we're trying to make the dollar stretch and show them that we are taking it very seriously, you can then reapply for an additional $30,000. So, I'm hoping that we can get that, and then we can get a better stage for our musicians. I'll be asking to that money to do that. Better stage, better sound system. I would love to get a walk-in cooler. We desperately need better flooring for our kitchen staff out in the back. Just, you know, when you're running a business, you always see the things that need to be fixed, and you wish you could do it all, but we've been trying to be very prudent this whole time. Through all this weird growth and everything, it's kind of like we make a little bit of money and then we try to put it in something that's gonna grow the business. It's gonna make the experience better for our customers. It's gonna be more efficient for the employees and folks working here. And and you constantly have to play a game with food. And this is something that I'm fairly new to, but you got to play a game of like, how do you deliver something at the most highest quality possible, but also consistently, you know? And so sometimes you have to sacrifice maybe some quality to have something be more consistent. And that dance. Then there's some things you just will not compromise on quality, and that's the dance, you know.
Yeah.
Constantly trying to figure it out.
Well, right on, dude. I think that's pretty much caught us up with what's going on here at Munson Brothers. Just one more question about the place for someone who has never been to Munson Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they've never been to Columbus, and you were going to invite them here. What would you say?
You mean like first impressions or what to expect?
Yes.
Well, I think that the biggest feedback I usually get, and I hope that it's matter of fact, I had an awkward hug with a dude. He just told me that he said, "Man, you got one of the best businesses in town." I was just so flattered. I hugged the guy, and he wasn't a hugger. And so he just turned into like a stiff board and looked at me, and I just hugged him. I said, "I'm sorry, man. I just poured my heart into this place. So I'm trying to do the best I can." I was like, that's what you want to hear, right? And so some of the best compliments that I've received is I was told that this looks like it came from Oregon. My place looks like it came from the state of Oregon. But the way they said it, they said this is what they're trying to do in Oregon. They're trying to make a genuine place like this. They're like, it looks like it comes from Oregon, but it's genuine. That was the compliment. And it is. This, to me, is the most genuine place. Everybody who works here are the best people ever. The patrons who come here are the coolest people. We don't have problems here. We take care of each other here. All the stuff floating around on my walls usually most of it was either given to me or has some kind of sentimental value that has something to do with the family atmosphere that we have. And I, you know, I want to protect that. I want to keep that going. I want artists to feel like they can express themselves here. And our biggest thing is always like, you can come in here and you'll find some well-to-do folks, the judges and lawyers in town hanging out. You will find folks who are your blue collar, they're the builders and the fixers and the lawn care guys. And you'll find, I mean, there's just all walks of life who meet here. Doesn't care what race, religion. We have preachers who come in here. I had this one preacher said, what kind of beer do you think I should get? And I said, I think you should get a Holy Roller. And he did. And that was just funny, man. But yeah, you know, like that's just it. I want everyone to have a sense of belonging when they come in here. And you know, we're right now sitting in a living room setting. And, you know, I want people to feel like they're in a home of some sort and they feel comfortable. But not so comfortable everybody, like, drinks too much or anything crazy. But they just get the vibe of it's a nice place to relax and have discussions again. I never really feel like the world went back to normal since 2020. And people don't know how to just sit down and talk things out. But
just to add to that, and every time that they come to Columbus now, they play here. Shout out to Hartle Road for inviting Whip Appeal up from... they're based down in New Orleans, Louisiana. And when they first rode into Columbus, it was their first time here. And they were rolling right down our main street. And just our regulars just happened to be street walking, and the Whip Appeal, they rode their window down and they asked, "Where do the artists in this town go?" And as someone who works here and is part of the Munson Brothers team, I was blessed to hear that you go to Munson Brothers.
Yeah,
that's awesome. And they did a pop-up show for us, and recently with the Waco Dead and Hartle Road, the Whip Appeal, they put on a hell of a weeknight show for us for Porch Fest. I invited musicians and comedians from all over the country. For many of them, it was their first time here. And one of my friends from Mobile, Alabama, there's a place called Callahan's. And it's a fine restaurant. You can go there and you can have a drink. but it's kind of like the Blue Canoe in Tupelo, to where you really pay attention to who's being booked there, because he's really got his finger on the pulse for talent. And that was what Cam Lewis said about this place. He was like, with everything that Munson is building at this place and all the work and the heart that is being loved on this place, y'all are making every right move to be a place where people respect not only the food and the drinks are being served and the people who are there, but also what y'all are trying to do for the arts. And that blessed me.
Man, yeah, that's awesome.
And the comedians from Philadelphia, they were like,
they were awesome. What, the whole event went really well.
It was like a place like this, like, you walk inside and you're like in a friend's living room. You walk outside and there's a Westphalia. You're in the garden, and it's it's just somewhere where you can just sit down and you can have conversation. It was like, we've been around the country doing different things and doing these events, but we haven't found anywhere in the country like this.
Yeah.
So, high remarks, man.
Well, like I said, all that stuff's so humbling and so cool. It's so cool when people, you know, see all your good intentions and what you're hoping. And when people get it and they want to play along, whether just play music or just be a part of it. I mean, there's nothing, like I said, I pour my heart and soul in this place. My wife does. It's very much us, or a reflection on us. So we work hard on it. Yeah, I'm really proud of it.
Well, dude, what's been on your heart? What you been into? What you been thinking about?
So I just got back from a vacation, which is supposed to be a vacation. It was wild. I would never have signed up for this, but it was one of those things where my wife was doing some meditating, and so she signed us up for this meditation retreat, week-long meditation retreat. And I didn't know anything about this guy, and she didn't really know what the retreat was going to entail. It was an advanced meditation class, and I don't meditate a whole lot. But this guy, and she's like, well, there's some homework you have to do. And the guy's name is Joe Dispenza. Have you ever heard of Joe Dispenza?
That's my first time.
Okay. Joe Dispenza. And so there was like 30 hours worth of like lectures and meditations that I had to do before I could even go to this advanced, because it's for advanced meditators. And it was wild. And so I started listening to him talking, and I was meditating. He has like guided meditation. So it's not just like listen to the sitar for 30 minutes. Yeah. It would be like he's telling you what to focus on, what to think about, where to be focused. And so some of the things he was talking about, he was talking about learned emotions, like how your body learns emotions. Just like your body can feel, are you familiar with neuroplasticity in your brain at all?
Not even a little bit.
All right, so let's just start like this. Let's say that you and a girl who you really like broke up, right? So initially, you're going to have very hurt feelings, right? Feelings are going to hurt, and you're going to, your brain is going to tell your body that it's hurting. And it's going to put that hurt down into your body. And you'll feel it. Some guys get upset stomachs. Some guys, like, their body reacts to those hurt feelings, those hurt emotions. And it might carry on for a couple of days. Well, a feeling doesn't carry on for a couple of days. That they start calling that a mood. So it goes on for like 3 days. All of a sudden, now you're in a bad mood. You have hurt feelings, and by day three, you're ruminating and you're just reminding your body that you're hurt. You're constantly reminding. You're replaying the breakup. You're replaying your actions or whatever, and you're just constantly. And your body doesn't know the difference between when it first got broken up with and the third day, because every time it thinks about it, it hits it with the same emotion, right? You have that emotion for a week or 2 weeks or even longer, and you're still there, right? Now you have a bad attitude. Your attitude is changing because you keep defaulting, and it can last for a while. I've been in a lull. I've been in a bad place. Why? Because it's one incident that triggered me. So now my mind is hurting my body, and I'm putting that hurt into my body. And that can carry on. For some people, they forget what it's like. And, you know, I'm using that as an example. But there's trauma comes in many forms.
Oh, yeah.
PTSD, you know, you were beaten as a child or some bad trauma that happened to you as a kid. People experience traumas all the most easiest relatable is a breakup, very quick, slow hanging fruit, but we all kind of suffer something. And because of that, now you've gone 6 months and you keep replaying this one incident or this one time in your life or something, and you just keep feeding that self bad that your body can forget what it's like to feel good. And it just starts defaulting. Then it starts manifesting itself. You start saying, well, I'm depressed, or I have anxiety, or I have these other things, right? Mm-hmm. So I like what this guy was saying, Joe Dispenza. And his whole thought process was, you got to get up first thing in the morning. And if you can meditate, learn how to feel the right way again, and get your body right before you start your day, you got to retrain your body, kind of like your brain should be the jockey and your body's a horse, and you're trying to train that horse how to act properly. Because the horse is going to buck and the horse is going to fight. Your horse is not going to want to get up early and do the right thing. Horse isn't going to want to feel right. It's going to default to whatever you've been doing. And so many of us are kind of walking around being led by our bodies. Like, I have anxiety, so therefore I don't go in public places. Mm-hmm. I have depression, therefore I have to take this medicine because my body told me I feel bad. My body's told me that I don't feel good today, so therefore I'm not going to engage with the world, or I'm not going to do what I want to do. So the idea is, get your body feeling good. Feel good inside. Get your heart open. Feel like you belong in this world before you ever step into it. And so I really like that. I spend time with that.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply. People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.
So I did most of these meditations, and he has a bunch of different breathing techniques. Some of them were borrowed from other, like, they're kind of wildly known techniques. You know who Wim Hof is?
That sounds familiar.
Wim Hof is, he's like the world record holder for, like,
underwater
ice. Like, he can take an ice bath longer than anybody. Like, he can control his temperature of his body by his breathing techniques. Like, he has these breathing techniques, and like, his temperature doesn't rise. He's like climbed and scaled mountains, and he looks exactly like a guy named Wim Hof would look, and who knows, you can do that. That's what he looks like.
See him in my mind's eye.
Yeah, you've got it. He's like the most interesting man in the world. He looks like that dude. And he can climb mountains with his shirt off and never get cold and not bother him. And if you go to his website, I think he teaches you the technique. He's not even trying to make money. He's just like, I can do this.
It strikes me as a Preston Blake character from the movie. It was a Adam Sandler film.
Uh-huh.
Mr. Deeds. Mm. Remember Preston Blake?
I think I do. Yeah.
He died doing what he loved. He was climbing Kilimanjaro, I think. God. Mount Rushmore or something.
That's pretty awesome.
Not to make light of it.
No. So
that's the type of man I'm picturing.
Yeah, he was. He's a strong looking character. And then like Yogananda was a guru who came over here in the early 1900s, and he brought yoga to the United States. That's what it gets the name from. But he had different breathing techniques. So none of this stuff is real, real foreign, but like part of it is breathing and opening your heart and getting your mind right. And so I go into this thing not knowing what to expect. And the first thing he wants to do is start working on your breathing techniques. And I'm like, okay. Because I never even got to finish all of it because I didn't have enough time. I tried to do all the meditations and stuff. And so we get to this hotel room. It's a ballroom. It's at the Gaylord Hotel in Dallas, Texas. It's like a resort hotel. It's like a nice, it's weird. It's like a really nice hotel. They've got, it feels like somebody put like a medieval times restaurant and all under like, all inside of one hotel. It's all inside of there. It's like all brick. And so we're there and there's 1,800 other people there for this guy's retreat. It's hard to get into and you just kind of randomly, you're assigned a color and then you just kind of float around the room. And first thing he wants to do day one, and I'll be honest, when I found out about this, I started hyperventilating because the idea of meditating every day for long periods of time, I'm squirmy, you know, like I don't like to sit still. I like to keep moving. So I felt like I was getting ready for a marathon or something, like this is going to be real hard. Like I don't, and it wasn't easy. It was just hard in a different way. So first thing he wanted us to do, I was just telling you what my experience was, but he wanted us to do this breathing technique where, see if you can do this, man. He wants you to breathe out your nose a little bit, and you know, like underneath your stomach, like it presses down on those muscles right there. Breathe out your nose for a little bit and hold that. And then he wants you to feel your chakras. Apparently you have one like in your lower waist, like in where your testicles and stuff are. There's a chakra there. And the next one is in your lower abdomen. And the next one's in your stomach. The middle one is in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Then you got one in your throat.
And you got one on top of your head.
You got one in the middle of your head.
Oh.
You got your eyes here, and then you got your crown up top, right? So he wants you to harness the energy in all your lower chakras. He said there's a lot of energy. Like a lot
that's
of us,
where all the bad stuff is too. That's where the bad stuff is stored.
That's where the bad stuff is stored. And a lot of us only work out of those chakras. Like some guys, that's all they think about is they just work off that bottom chakra, right? And they just try to.
I told you I had the chakra therapy done on me.
Did you have chakra therapy?
Yeah. I interviewed a lady who was a chakra or whatever that term is.
She
did Reiki.
Okay.
Reiki. And I had no idea what it was. And she's like, I tell you what, you come into the clinic and I'll give you a free Reiki.
Mm-hmm.
And then the interview can be about, I can answer questions about how you felt through the experience.
Did she use stones?
At one point.
Sometimes they put stones.
But it was mostly no touch. Although it felt like she was touching me.
Right. Yeah,
so I'm familiar with the chakras.
You're tracking. I'm gonna let anybody else's judgment. I don't care. This is just what happened to me, because I was just there. But we were starting. So he had a setup. He's like, I'm not gonna let you know what's gonna happen, but I can tell you what did happen. Is we were meditating for over 6 hours a day. It was like hardcore intensive meditation. And he showed us brain scans. And he's like, after this retreat, he's like, somebody who meditates every day, they're using different parts of their brain that normies don't use, and they show us where the activity would be. And he's like, at the end of this 7-week retreat, you're going to be like a long-term meditator. Your brain's going to look like that of somebody who's been meditating for years, because we're getting so intense with it. And so this breathing technique is, he said, sit up straight. You breathe out of your nose, flex that little muscle down there. He's like, what you want to imagine is that you've got a straw going up your spine. And what you want to do is when you breathe in, he's like, you want to tighten up what the kids call the taint area.
Mm-hmm.
You tighten up all that area, tighten up your butt, and then you tighten up your stomach and you're breathing in, right? And then you get to your chest, and then you got to breathe through your chest, and you got to bring all that energy up. And then it's like it goes through a really tight area in your throat. And then you got to, like, he wants you to, like, bring all that spinal fluid up to your brain. And you're trying to, like, squirt it into your brain, the spinal fluid. Apparently, your spinal fluid cycles through your body twice once every 12 hours. The spinal fluid does cycle through because your brain creates trash and has to get the trash out. So it does cycle through. What you're trying to do is speed up that process.
Okay.
Because your spinal fluid is only made up of saline, like salt, proteins. Like that's what's going on in your spinal fluid. And when you start doing that, according to this guy, your brain will light up and you'll just start going. You'll just be ready to meditate. You're just going to be like a beacon. You've got this thing inside in your head called the pineal gland.
Mm-hmm. Third eye.
It's like a third eye, yeah. You can feel it through here. You can feel it through the top.
Mm-hmm.
And you really want to focus on that. Now, the pineal gland, when you cover your eyes up or it's dark, it produces melatonin.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't want to mess with your melatonin. It produces melatonin, makes your body want to shut down. So it's your transmitter, lets you know when there's daylight and when there's not. So when the melatonin puts you down, serotonin is what wakes you up. It produces both those chemicals in your body. And so he wants you to focus on that. He's playing the music. He's having you do this breath work. Your brain kind of feels like it comes alive because you get your body going. And he's trying to get you to get this, like, your pineal gland. He's trying to get you to focus on that and use it like a transmitter. And he's very much into, like, the quantum field. I don't know if you've messed around with the quantum field very much.
I have a friend that does, Farouk. He's a quantum guy.
He's a quantum guy? Okay. He's trying to get you to get your brain right so when you're meditating, you're interacting with the quantum field. And so, like, it's just a kind of a go back on these emotion things. So let's say that you want a new car because your car's not doing good. As soon as you say you want a new car, what you're telling your body is that you're lacking a new car. I don't have a new car. And in this realm, in this world, it's a 3D world, everything takes time and space. You have to move through space, and it takes time to do so.
Mm-hmm.
Hence why they have those math questions. The train's moving. We move through time and space, and you can pinpoint exactly how long and how much time we're going to use in this realm. And so you'll calculate, man, I need a new car. It's going to cost me $5,000. It's going to cost me $10,000. That means I'm going to have to work overtime. I'm going to have to do this. And you're putting all this work into your body. It's all part of your mind.
Already putting that stress in there.
Yeah. So the lack's there. And it might take you 2 years. It might take you 3 years. And you just are feeding that body lack. It's like that depression. It's like that sadness. You just feed it. And then when you finally get it, your gratitude lasts just a half second. And then you just move on. You're so used to feeling in lack. We're so used to feeling in lack in this world. Every time you pull up Facebook, whatever, you see people having a good time. I'm not having a good time. It's just that feeling of lack, of missing out, not having. We just feed ourselves. Again, you go back into the meditation. This is for folks who believe in manifestation, like manifesting their own realities. This whole thing is, if you want to change your reality, you got to change your personality. So if you wake up in the morning and instead of you meditate, make your heart right, and if you're wanting $1 million, you start meditating on that feeling of what it would be like to have $1 million. And you implant that feeling into your heart. So then you're not lacking anymore. You're somebody who's a millionaire.
Oh, okay.
Right?
I'm picking up what you land on.
So yeah. So but the way you do that is you gotta communicate with the quantum field.
Mm-hmm.
The quantum field. Communicate that you're now a millionaire. And then the universe will kind of act accordingly. You're bringing that stuff to you as you're going forward, right? It's wild stuff. It was fun. But, so we're in this big room, and we're trying to get our pineal gland. First day, I didn't do so well, man. That breathing technique, it's more of a workout, but people were popping up. And I guess he realized that we were all struggling, and he has the staff, and he's like, all right, day two.
Whip them into shape.
It's like, day two, I want you to see what my staff looks like when they start getting into this state. Like,
mm-hmm.
When they get into a state and their brain's lighting up. And he's explaining to us that, like, you know, you have a polar side and a negative side. All organic material has a charge, right?
Yeah.
Polar charge. It's like an egg does. He's like, once you get that flowing, you're radiating a higher frequency charge. And you can get your pineal gland to where it can start receiving information or sending information to the quantum field. So next day he has these people line up and he has them do the breathing technique, that particular breathing technique. And it was the most wild thing ever because some folks were convulsing. Some folks were just shaking. I mean, they're doing whatever they could to get that spinal fluid stuff rolling. And it freaked us out. Like, Catherine and I were like, I don't know. This is wild. These guys, I'm not sure if they're even having fun. This is a lot.
What did we sign up for?
Where is this? Like, I was like, oh, I just need to meditate. And I thought they were going to be like, find your inner child. Tell him he's a good dude. And give him a little hug, you know? Mm-hmm. Tell him that you love him.
And hopefully he doesn't go stiff as a board.
Right, right. And he can embrace her hug.
Yeah.
And doesn't look at you like you're crazy. I thought it was going to be that. I thought it was going to be a lot of like, I thought I was expecting just a bunch of hippies and we're going to have like a garden we raked and we play mellow out, but it wasn't. These people were working hard. I was sweating, trying to make this thing happen to my brain. And here's the thing, like, you know, this is something that I was trying to do with my wife, and like we wanted to be all in, you know, like let's go all in because this can be a big thing. So I was trying hard to make this stuff happen. All I could think about is like, I'm out of shape to meditate. But you're trying to get this light up in your brain. And you're doing these crazy breath work. And then they start doing this other type of breath work. These I think you've seen people probably do it, but it's like you almost like hyperventilate yourself. Like you take in a deep breath, you blow it out quickly, you take another deep breath, you blow it out quickly, and you just go over and over and over. Like we're meditating, focusing on this energy, trying to pull up the energy. We're doing stuff like that. And you're listening to these crazy vibrations and stuff. It's putting you in the space. So the way he was also explaining, like, your body is made up of just atoms, right? You just got a bunch of atoms floating around in your body. But all those atoms have a ton of space. And if you were to take all those atoms and actually crunch them up and get rid of all the space, you'd only be at, like, 0.1% of yourself. Like, because we really, in real life, just, like, we see this 3D world, but in real life, like, there's all sorts of stuff moving right through us. There's radio waves. My vocals are moving through you.
Mm-hmm.
There's radiation. There's all sorts of things that just move through us. And we kind of have this idea that, you know, I was talking about moving through space and time, is that nothing can go faster than, right, E equals MC squared. Nothing goes faster than the speed of light, right? Nothing can move faster than the speed of light. It's what we think. But the quantum can. And in your mind...
The quantum is high gear.
High gear. It's the highest gear. It's the all or supreme, right?
Yeah, not to get carried away, but like Farouk, he works in quantum physics. And like they're beginning to prove like some of the ideas that Einstein had about relativity is like, just like I can call you on a cell phone, that's the best example that I can be sitting in Starkville, you can be in Columbus, I can give you a call. And I can give you information, like quantum physics is getting to a point to where they can almost not just give an idea such as a phone conversation, but they can almost send things now.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're getting to that place.
Yeah. So I went back to that pineal gland, man. That's a bunch of animals use that. Like the chameleon uses their pineal gland to change colors and to blend into their surroundings. They don't think green, they feel it. And then they can change over. So all these everything runs off a different frequency. And with frequencies, every frequency, every vibration has information on it. That's just how things communicate. That's how the whole world communicates, is via vibrations. You have like every one of your atoms are vibrating in their own way. And we spend all of our time at the very lowest form, the matter form of frequency. That's where we spend our time. But if you don't have to worry about space and time when you're meditating. That's how you can become a millionaire in your mind. You can put those things out. But the wild thing is, so all those frequencies are going around and they want to organize stuff. So if you took like 20 metronomes and set them all at different, going at different rates. You'll watch it, it'll organize. Every metronome will eventually line up and go in sync with each other. It's just something that happens.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes information, right? It receives the information and all becomes, it lines up. It becomes information.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the natural balance of the universe. That's the natural balance of frequency. That's what frequency is trying to do. So the theory is that if you can tap into that, the only thing that we could really change, we can send out our own frequencies. And thoughts have a frequency.
Well, that's what people mean today, like with the new kids today when they say a vibe.
Yeah.
Is you got a good vibe, that you're putting out a good frequency.
Yeah.
People pick that up. And people can pick up your negative energy too. Like you can meet someone and immediately know within seconds that this is not going to work.
It's not going to work, right. Yeah, I think I try to do that with hiring people. Like, I'm kind of real picky because I just want to make sure that they're going to sync up. But that's one frequency. So this whole thing is he wants to get you just really focused on your pineal gland. He wants your heart to get in rhythm. He wants your brain to get in rhythm and just to line up with all the vibrations, the right vibrations. You sync those two up together, and then you can kind of put your thoughts of what you want. And his whole thing is, like, you know when you throw a rock in a water and it creates all those ripples. Those ripples are a frequency. That's the frequency. And without the rock there, if you took a photo of those ripples, you would still, at any moment in time, just based off the ripples, you'd be able to find out the size and density of the rock. So the idea is that if you can tap into that and you can change the ripples, well, then you could change the matter. And there's a couple of books out there about neuroplasticity and what the mind can do. You know, just like we talk about Wim Hof being able to control the temperature of his body. You know, there's a book called The Brain That Changes Itself. I don't know if you ever read that book, but it's a neuroplasticity book. It's really awesome. It's all about, I don't know if you know how PETA was formed, but PETA was formed because some guy, this is in the 80s, the woman who started PETA, she had her boyfriend working at this place where they're doing testing on monkeys and everything. And he went in there, and he's like a janitor, but after hours, he went and, like, put the monkeys all up in distorted cages. And you can find those photos. He took photos of it, and it shocked the world. They shut down the whole thing, and really, PETA was born off that. But that book is talking to the scientists who were running the lab, and what they were doing is they were trying to figure out how to help stroke victims and how to make their brains, the neuroplasticity in their brains, heal themselves. And they just found out wild stuff. Like, one of the reasons that a lot of stroke victims become paralyzed on one side of their body is because after they have a stroke, their neurons are trying to fire to move it. And if it doesn't move after two or three times of trying to fire, they'll lose power in their arm and they'll never be able to get it back. Because when the brain says, oh, we can't use this arm, we don't need it, and it just shuts it off and we're done. Yeah. So what they found out, though, is that they mend your arm really, really quickly and mend it you don't even try to use it. And once your body heals and everything, and the swelling goes down in your brain, and all the trauma calms down, your body never realizes that it never could use it. And then you try to fire it, and it moves. Then it will, like, you don't lose that motor skill. It's wild. And they're just learning, like, with different researchers. Well, now they're learning that chronic pain is... your body doesn't want to hurt all the time. Chronic pain is a learned emotion. Your body is... chronic pain comes from the mind. Chronic pain doesn't come from the body. We think it comes from the body, but you get hurt and your brain begins to assume that pain and you can't drop the pain. And the thing is, it's the same thing. The brain that wires together, fires together. You've heard that. Like, you know, things that wire together, fire together. They're learning that your brain can only focus on so many things. So people who have chronic pain, if they can overstimulate the senses and have you meditate on feeling good and have you meditate on a few different things,
rewire it.
You can rewire your brain and it's not using the pain anymore. It doesn't think it needs the pain. It doesn't need to favor the leg. It doesn't need to give you that pain anymore. You're focusing on other things. Your body can literally be like, oh, we don't need the pain. We don't need it. And you can drop the pain and people are like doing miraculous things for chronic pain.
That was a big thing when my dad had his stroke. He had received the news shortly after that He was experienced paralysis on his good side, right-handed and all that. And he received the news, and he was down bad. And I was like, you push through, you go to physical therapy, don't accept that. Mm-hmm. And, like, through the therapy, and also, like, the physical therapist that he was going to, it was the same one I used for my ACL when I was doing recovery on that.
Yeah.
Not only was he into, like, did he know his stuff when it came to physical therapy and rehabbing the body, but his thing was also big on rehabilitating the mind. And what you're talking about, that was what he believed in that.
Absolutely.
And Dad fully recovered. Like, wasn't supposed to. My grandfather broke his back. Same kind of thing. Wasn't ever supposed to walk again. It was wheeled back.
And that's happening. Joe Dispenza has a... So when I was looking around the audience, you know, we're like day two now. And I had a couple emotional breakthroughs, man. Just sitting, spending time with yourself. We just don't do that enough. And I had a couple of things that kind of popped up in the meditation, just trying to like relax myself that I didn't even know was in there that popped up. But like I said, so, you know, you change the ripple of the water, you can change the matter, right? They talk about you can't change your DNA, but your DNA through your genes produces protein, and the proteins do different things, and you can change the protein that it produces. Any of the genes can produce a wide range of proteins, and you can change. It's just like that whole thing, man. Think about the long-term effects of feeling bad about stuff. You know, constantly putting that depression on yourself. The long-term effects, it's going to cause some diseases. It's going to cause some issues. Mm-hmm. I almost guarantee if you talk to most people who are dealing with stuff, I don't want to guarantee it, but I'm just saying a lot of times they kind of feel like maybe they had something to do with it, their mental state leading up to it. They just haven't been treating their bodies right. You know, they were just not in a very good space. But if you can imagine the effects of waking up every day and feeling good and pouring good feelings into your body. I'm not saying that keeps you from ever getting sick. We all die. But like, imagine the effects of just feeling good.
Yeah.
You know? So with that being said, he's very much into... You can communicate with those frequencies. You can get into the void, the nothing, the in-between spaces, the other 99.9% of your makeup. Yeah. You can get in tune with that void, and you can put those thoughts in there that could maybe change and make yourself. And whether or not that's a placebo effect, but, you know, don't forget, placebo effect's a real effect.
Yeah.
Like you said, maybe your dad tapped into the quantum field. Maybe your dad just had the belief. Maybe he just had faith. And his faith alone created the placebo effect. So that's kind of what I was sitting here analyzing as I'm there. But it got sad because there was a lot of sick people and a lot of people trying to tune into these frequencies. You know, there were several times where I was sitting there and I'm meditating. I could just hear the guy next to me just bawling.
Yeah.
Because either he was finding something beautiful with the fact that he just felt like he was in rhythm and wholeness. But a few times, I mean, lots of people just cry. Had lots of people having these emotional breakthroughs or reactions to the work that we were trying to do in there. Then he introduced like walking meditations to have us outside, and we're kind of like zombies. We had our eyes open and we were meditating. We were tapping in. You could tap into this stuff. We were just kind of walking, and there was a couple times in doing that I felt like I could have, like I was impenetrable. I just felt like I could have ran a marathon. Like it just was just in the zone, you know, and at that point in time, my body would do whatever I told it to. That was cool. Then they started ramping it up, right? Because this is the advanced class. And then they really started doing this. And man, there was one time where we went and did through all the breathing techniques. It's been going on for an hour. We're focusing in on like these vibrations and how to tune into it. And it's real, real quiet. We're all like laying there. We just got finished breathing heavy and everything. All of a sudden, we start hearing these women having orgasms. And nobody's touching them. And we're in a big room. And these women were going, I mean, they were going to town. I'm talking, I listened to this lady for like 4 or 5 minutes. And I thought maybe she was putting it on. But then again, like, those weren't the type of people who are putting that kind of stuff on. I was like, huh, well, there, that happened, you know? But it kind of made it all real weird, you know? And then he wanted us to tap in, and he says that you could put those messages out, and maybe, and he wanted us to heal other people. And I guess I realized there were sick people there, but I didn't realize how many and how sick. And there was people there who had like stage 4 cancer, and people who had some serious MS, ALS. There was people there who, I talked to one lady who just was hoping that she'd find her husband, that she could put out the, she wanted to get in touch with the quantum to find a soulmate. Actually, I found a few ladies doing that. And for some reason, the whole thing, like, I'm telling you this because it was like a, there's like a buffet. There was stuff there that I wanted to eat, and then there's stuff there that I, like, I didn't want to touch.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I'm just saying it how it is. I, you know, like, I'm not trying to be funny or gross with the, with some of the stuff that was happening there, but that's just, I'm just here.
Part of it.
I'm reporting, you know? But like, we also had another moment where, like, after we all did the breathing technique, one person started laughing, and then the whole room broke off in our laughter and became real contagious, and we were all just laughing for like a good 15 minutes. The entire 1,800 people were just laughing, and that was like a feel good. That was like day 2. I feel good. But on day 5, so we've been doing these breathing techniques and stuff, and he even had this like weird kaleidoscope thing that he wanted us like to look into, and he had like visuals and stuff. And day 5, and I had like one like grandpa or somebody who meditates often. He was like into karate and jiu-jitsu and stuff. And he's like, I've been doing this stuff for a long time. He's like, I'm not sure if I'm ready to give up my mind like this to looking at kaleidoscopes and breathing and trying to tune in and stuff. He's like, that's too much for me. And I was like, I'm with you. But we had this moment, man, where I was about to go in this room, and what they did is they, and all the music up to this point has had like heavy beats and like they're very high vibration music, sitar type things is there, you know, like that kind of what you would expect. But in this time he's like, no, we're going to heal some people. He said, he says that he has a 37% heal rate. And he's like, if I can get the heal rate up to 50%, we're taking this into children's hospitals. That's what he said. We're going to start healing children. Won't charge them. I'm just going to try to heal children. I was like, okay. And then we were set up outside, and we had all these people set up outside. He took the people inside who are sick, and he turned 8 chairs to each person, like pods.
Mm-hmm.
And they had them bed, and then he had us come in, and he had us all do this meditation where we had to like, we didn't lay hands, but we were trying to meditate and heal this poor person.
Sounds like praying over somebody.
It was like praying over somebody, but he never used like God. It's all about quantum realm and channeling energy and pushing your energy out and pushing your love out and opening your heart. And it was all like that kind of language. So as people started entering in, I grabbed my wife by the hands and I said, look, because it was getting really serious. And at the time, I'm just kind of playing. I'm on an adventure. I'm doing a retreat. Let's see it. But at that moment, man, it, like reality snapped. And I looked at my wife and I said, we're going to pray to God right now. We're going to pray to work. If it's faith, well, then I'm going to have to, that's what I believe in. So I'm going to have to, you know what I mean? I'm going to have to go to something I have faith in. If it is a placebo effect, if it's believing in the quantum fields, what does that, and that's what does it for you, then by all means use that. I was like, I just did a prayer. I was like, man, if this is God's will to heal these people, then let me be an instrument. You know, mm-hmm. Let me be, it's going to be Jesus Christ who does this. Maybe he can do it through me type thing.
Yeah.
Maybe he can do it through us. And we went in there, man. And he had turned the ballroom now felt more like a chapel playing. It was no longer Indian kind of sitar type, you know, meditation music. It was more of like almost like, you know, this pipe organs. It felt like we were in a cathedral.
Mm-hmm.
Pipe organs with some of the same tones. And he has meditated to this. And like I couldn't walk out, man. I'm looking at this woman laying there who is frail and sick. Like genuinely sick and looking at me like I'm going to heal her. And it was supposed to be the first of 3 healings for these people. And they're all over the ballroom, all these sick people. And, you know, I didn't look. I just kind of did the act. And my hands were sweaty and they felt like they were 100 degrees. When I was in the middle of meditating, I was trying to channel all my energy, like he said, and I was asking God, man, come through me. Sweaty, and I put my hands out, like he instructed. This is all instructed by him. Put your hands out, try to push your energy out. And like Catherine's on one side of me, this girl I don't know is on the other side of me, and a girl that I didn't know is on the other side of her. And then we had four people in front of us, eight people to one person, and we're all breathing heavy, and I'm pushing everything I got. And my images of my dad popped in there. My grandfather was there from when my aunt passed. I mean, it was just like all the people I've ever loved and wanted to heal. I'm like just praying to God at this point. And my hands, man, they turned ice cold. I couldn't feel my hands up to my elbows by the time I was done. I don't know if that says anything or if it was just what it was, but like whatever I had, I gave it to that woman. If they, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then we got out, and I look over, and I didn't realize, but not the girl right next to me, the one next down from her, that was a woman's daughter. And it just became this crazy, like they all start thanking me. Thank you so much. And like it just got really, really emotional. I was like, I don't think I can do this anymore. Like, got really, really emotional. And they're like, we're going to do this two more times tomorrow. We want you here at 4 o'clock in the morning. We were meditating from 6 a.m. to like 8 o'clock at night. Like, I want you here. And we just kind of came to this conclusion. I was like, man, I don't think I can emotionally do this. I'm not this advanced. I'm not sure what y'all are believing in. I'm not sure what I know what I believe in, but I'm not sure. Yeah. I don't want to screw up the program, you know, and it just kind of got wild. But that's what I did like last weekend. And I think there's a lot there to explore, you know. It's something else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've had those, you know, when I was a young toddler.
Yeah.
I was a very sick child. They had taken me to a lot of different doctors and different places for children.
Mm-hmm.
And my grandfather, on my dad's side, he was incredibly religious. He was against it, but there was a nun. I don't remember what part of Alabama she was in. But my grandmother and my mother found her, contacted her. And they told my dad and grandpa, we're taking Alan to this lady. We think that she might could heal him. You can try, but we're not gonna go. I don't know about that. Hmm. Well, they took me, and that woman healed me. Whatever and the doctors couldn't figure out what was wrong.
Yeah,
but that woman healed me. I have experienced. I've been on the other end of that.
How old were you, dude?
I had to be like two or three.
Two or three. Do you remember the incident?
I don't remember anything about it.
Okay.
Nothing about it. Hmm. My mom always told me that, dude, you were a sick child. You're not supposed to be here, but you are. And I've been on the other end of that. So it's nuts, dude. Stud, what's up, man?
What's up, man?
How's it going?
It's good. We're almost done, I think.
Yeah, no, that was it. That was my story.
Well, right on. Anything else to do before we go? Oktoberfest, 4th and 5th, Friday and Saturday in October. Find us on the web, right? MunsonBrothers.com?
Yeah, man. Look us up on MunsonBrothers.com. I've really enjoyed doing this, and I appreciate whoever's out there might be keeping up with us. I appreciate them doing so.
Right on. Thank you, brother.
All right, man.
No man can give you what you deserve. God must be real. He worked miracles on your body, and I'm glad that he did. I'm glad that he did. Take it slow. Don't you know how lucky I am? How lucky I am. No, babe, don't worry. did. Take it slow. Don't you know how lucky I am?
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply. People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.